Fan.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
I knew we was gonna beat them clowns.
Oh no!
Oh well.
Hashtag Faith Radio.
Shall we begin?
Let's go, everybody. Let's go. Good morning.
The season can't end like that.
Keep listening to 9 to noon.
All I can say is, wow.
Hold on to your butt.
Yeah! High fives for everybody!
This show is naughty and might make you a potty mouth.
Those freaking abs.
Jerkass!
Those Colorado Avalanche.
Jerkass!
What?
Watch your language in front of the lady, punk!
How about those this looks good enough to eat chalk players who got paid yesterday with that minus 270?
Jerkass!
Come on!
Watch your language in front of the lady, punk!
The braggarts who probably gave the goal and a half to catch even money, they got bit. Billy G's team got that cover.
Where's that Billy G thing? Let's get that Billy G thing in the mix.
I'll try to find it.
Billy G's team got the cover on that 1.5. Freaking abs. Are you kidding me? I mean, down a handful of our preferred players, this Wild Squad, recognized by people all over the world, just wouldn't stop bringing the fight to allegedly the best in show.
Billy G's team, they did cover.
That's right.
Billy G's team, they did cover.
Yeah, the braggarts giving the 1.5. How'd that feel? The best player on the ice was this guy.
Pass out, lead pass for Kirill Kaprizov. He's met by the shoulder of Eric Johnson, playing a very physical style of game here in this third period. Squirts out to Zuccarello. One timer! He scores! Kirill Kaprizov again! And the Wild All-Star pulls the Wild even at 2 goals apiece in Denver.
That's Kevin Faulness doing the play-by-play, Tom Reed by his side on the vast and ever-expanding KFAN Minnesota Wild Radio Network. Covenant claps for Kevin Faulness, by the way. Jumping into a tough spot and coming through beautifully. Sounded great yesterday, Kevin. How about that bullcrap review goal they gave the Avalanche? The one where nobody could see the puck under Kakinen's pad. Oh my God! Did you see it? Did you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Could never
see the puck.
Am I missing something here? I mean, such bull bleep, Mr. Referee.
Jerkass!
What am I missing?
I don't know what the hell you're missing. I do know that typically in the review process, it's supposed to be clear and obvious evidence, right? Isn't that
Same.
How it's supposed to work? If you can't see the puck, how is that in any way clear or obvious? That was a disastrous review.
Alan Roach, the play-by-play voice, the public address voice for U.S. Bank Stadium during Vikings games, former guest, 9 to noon. He's also the...
former guest. with his game-worn Peter Forsberg on.
Yeah, emphasis with that game-worn Claude Lemieux he always wears when he joins 9 to noon. He publicly addresses the crowd at Pepsi Center. I mean, could you put any more passion into those Avs goals and just, like, pretend you never collected a paycheck from the state of Minnesota? He might have said this at the end of the game.
Ha-ha! Your position has been you, sir.
Yeah, well, screw you, Vox. That goal was bull bleep, man, but the Russian kid doesn't care. Shook it off and shook things up.
Kaprizov scores! Kaprizov, his 16th of the season, second of the hockey game, and bing, bang, boom, the Wild have tied this thing up at three.
Kevin, they grabbed the puck so quickly, and then Watson Kaprizov, he looked like he was almost hurting out there, but he gets that shot, puts it away, and ties up the game.
Now, the Russian kid doesn't hurt. He's robotic. I mean, you go ahead and put a bull bleep goal on us, missing more than a handful of our preferred players. And the Russian kid, in very robotic superstar fashion, says, Niet. Da, niet, da, niet, cock de la, ochi chorny. Ties the game.
He catches fish with his mouth in streams outside of Moscow.
You think he doesn't?
He handles himself well.
He hears he's going to Siberia with the 1980 Russian hockey team, and he's like, cool, where do I get my parka? We grabbed a point despite adverse conditions. Sadly, we missed out on the deuce. Hey, guys, the Russian kid can't do everything.
For the Minnesota Wild, number 97, Kirill Kaprizov.
Game on the line for Kaprizov. He must score or this is over. Kaprizov with it. Lines through the hash mark, takes it, takes the shot. Saved by Francouz. Smothers it with his glove, gets congratulated by his teammates. The Wild three-game win streak is over, but the Avalanche, incredibly, figure out a way to get the extra point in this one, and have won 14 straight at Ball Arena in Denver, Colorado. Yeah,
Faulness was a little excited to call that save there.
Well, they, by the way, stop changing arena name. I mean, can you get a 30? can we get a 30-year deal with like U.S. Bank Stadium and SoFi? I mean, God bless Lambeau, sacrilegious as that may sound for Minnesota Vikings fans, but God bless Lambeau. And Soldier Field. And I don't think the Ford in Ford Field is going anywhere, is leaving the premises anytime soon. Ford, Motor City Davy.
What about Arrowhead?
Well, Arrowhead has a weird name in front of it. But like
but it's known as Arrowhead.
Correct. It's not the Pepsi Center, and that's diseased. And the Chickens, where do they play now? It's not Century Link.
It's Lumen.
What the hell is Lumen?
No idea.
And the Raiders play at Allegiant. Who in the hell ever flies Allegiant?
No one knows what Allegiant is.
I mean, did Mark Davis get paid by Allegiant in like rolls of quarters and nickels and dimes? But nevertheless, it's all good, man, because sponsorship's a good thing, is what they tell me. Seriously, though, this Minnesota Wild team is so very captivating. It's a captivating team. That Caps game, Boldy at Boston, NHL Network doing segments on Kaprizov. We're captivating. And I know the Lanch have won 14 consecutive at their super special spot, but we roll in there with sans at least a handful of our preferred players, and we almost beat that team, but the Chalk Eaters got paid. That's good. That's all good, man, I guess. Go ahead and keep laying that 270 and see how far it takes you. Hey, by the way, Wild, stop taking those first period penalties short on personnel and getting down 2-0, and I think we'll be fine. I mean, it's a power play, and then it's a 5-on-3, and then it's 2-0, and as this week's Faith and Goal guest, Wayne Larrivee, might have said, and there, metaphorically, could have been your dagger. Evason knew. Coach Dean Evason, weekly guest 9 to noon, knew they could beat the Colorado Avalanche yesterday. And our guy was just so animated and mad more than once with those saucer eyes just glaring at the bleeped up official who made the mistake on the bleeped up goal.
Jerkass!
Get out of here. Sorry.
What's your language in front of the lady, punk?
Billy, Johnny, Christy, Susie.
This show is naughty and might make you a potty mouth.
The question is, was Evason as mad as that Star Tribune Sunday piece, Vikings on Edge, made it seem Zimmer was when the Minnesota Vikings hired John DeFilippo to be the offensive coordinator in 2018. Now, this ain't going to be like a lifelong series we do or anything. Got a little emotional. Got a little cantankerous yesterday regarding the On Edge piece and the fact that, truly, there always is more and or are more things to be unveiled to stories than simply what you read. As we shared yesterday, a certain offensive coordinator having to be admonished and told, we don't care what you're saying right now about Cordarrelle Patterson. You are to find a way to include him in the offense. Present tense, past times behind. Don't fall for the same old line. And put your pride aside and make this work for the betterment of the team. And by the way, if in very low-key, sneaky fashion, your kid's calling plays during regular season games,
jerk ass!
Can we just stop that? And we'll just move on together in a thy, not I, Minnesota Vikings atmosphere. So, that story, Vikings on Edge, made it seem like Mike Zimmer was incensed from the minute he met John DeFilippo, the offensive coordinator in 2018. He, JDF, John, a person of whom I'm fond, was the shiniest of toys off the Philly special and rolled into Taj Mahal facility with Captain Cool-like swagger. He was that shiny toy. So if Zimmer truly was incensed or mad and not getting along with John DeFilippo, who would be fired less than a year after he was hired, which means the Wilfs, they got stuck for a number until John DeFilippo became offensive coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars, therefore the salary, I would imagine, offset. And that didn't last long for him. He was quarterback's coach for the Chicago Bears. But when they hire a coach, emphasis on the word was. But we digress. The shiny toy rolled into Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center and may have spent more than a day breaking down the Philadelphia Eagles offense in that NFC title game and how it put some of the very best Minnesota Vikings in compromising positions all game. So now, you got the Minneapolis Miracle. You got the Philly Flop. You have the angst-ridden and mean rubes walking down Broad Street holding a sign that says, F. Millie.
Jerk ass!
God rest her soul. And we got killed despite taking the early lead with Kyle Rudolph. And Mike Zimmer was the one orchestrating and calling the defense in that game. So can't you imagine? It is a wonderful, wonderful confab and an inaugural meeting between the head coach's new offensive coordinator hired by the general manager et al., and they sit down and may have spent a day or a day and change just combing through Zimmer's defense in that game and pointing out everything that went wrong. And you're Zimmer. Just what? Really? I mean, what a wonderful, wonderful first meeting for John DeFilippo and Mike Zimmer. I mean, hey, here's what you kept doing in the game and the reason you couldn't stop us. Now, much of it absolutely was true, but per the Vikings on Edge, if indeed Mike Zimmer went to loathing the new OC right out of the gate, geez, I wonder why.
Now, I think, John, if you ask him to sit down and do this, right? I mean, that's got to be part, in fairness, John DeFilippo, did he call the meeting with Zimmer and Spielman? And he's sitting there in the conference room with his Super Bowl ring saying, guys, I just think that now that I'm here.
If he wore that ring into that meeting, holy cow.
Well, I mean, he would be dead. I mean, that would be the end of the story.
Yeah, I wonder why Zimmer didn't like him.
And there'd be different kind of articles written.
Yeah.
But Zimmer had to have wanted that at some point. Now, maybe it was tell me how bad it was. And then an hour later, he started to, the face is turning red, blood is boiling, all of those things.
John's name's on the contract. He feels like he can say whatever he wants. So they're 6 hours into the meeting, and he's like, God, I can't believe Harrison Smith was there for a 14th time.
And
I mean, we just knew that we were going to, what? You mother, son of a...
With Ertz, all day Ertz on Harry. Mm. Unbelievable. But think about pride. You mentioned pride, PA. There's an aspect of pride in this.
It's the root of all evil.
Where you're sitting and watching seasoned head coach, defensive mastermind Mike Zimmer, watching from his perspective, wet behind the ears, rookie, you know, jackass, flashy offensive coach.
Shiny toy.
And he's still trying to figure out if it was more, if he had anything to do with it versus Frank Reich and Doug Peterson. And third in line rolls in here and starts telling you how he figured out that Nick Foles and some flea flicker to Torrey Smith was going to beat you to the pylon as they were piling on in the first half. Man. I did find something here for you, PA.
Yeah.
Final press conference that John DeFilippo did as offensive coordinator
with us
of the Minnesota Vikings post a New England game where he felt like they were balanced in the first half, 18 pass attempts, 7 rush attempts, and they were averaging about 9 a clip and only had 13 rush attempts in the game.
Which was the dagger to the anger and the madness, because there was something in the middle with the Buffalo Bills, that Bills game, when we ran for 11 yards. Okay, so now...
And they couldn't solve Jerry Hughes around the back end, the two strip sacks.
If it's Rick, Rob, whomever, with the shiny toy being like, all right, so how exactly did you compromise the entire game, Linval Joseph, Xavier Rhodes, and Harrison Smith? So it starts that way for Zim. Then he endures the Bills game with JDF, and we ran for 11 yards. And then you got that Patriots bit off what you just said. We've heard Zim when his voice gets high-pitched when he gets mad. You motherfucker! You sister! You motherfucker! Anyway.
I can't imagine it. Here he is, asked by a member of the media about running the ball more, as had been dictated potentially by said head coach.
Flip, when, you know, 2 weeks ago, Coach Zimmer said maybe there was too much volume in the
offense. There was Thomas and prodding.
We should run the ball more. Some people think maybe the coach and the offense coordinator aren't on the same page. How do you kind of look at that when you hear the coach saying things like that?
Well, you know, if it was new to, you know, Coach and I are in constant communication of how, like, to make this offense better. And
he yells at me.
We talk all the time. And there's certain things that
he yells at,
you know,
me.
He believes in and that I believe in as well. And so, you know, we're always looking for ways to tighten things up, make things simpler, but at the same time, look hard for the defense. So, you know, that's it's a fine line. And so he and we work very, very closely together to make sure that happens.
You came from working with
On Edge Chronicles from that story over the weekend that was quasi intriguing. And that takes us back to 2018 and just part of the 8-year story of On Edge, or On Edge, the inflated version. This one was not, and there's more to share. It's part of the Timber Tech set list. What's on Deck 9 to Noon includes an individual who is an elite football mind from down Dallas way. His name is Bob Sturm, writes for The Athletic, also does a very popular radio show for The Ticket in Dallas. Bob Sturm is an elite All-22 mind, and he has Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator Kellen Moore, related opinions. Quite honestly, you should be super excited to hear. That's at 10 o'clock. All those names that are being bandied about for Minnesota Vikings head coach, 2022. 9 to noon is going to deep dive and do some analysis on each and every one of them and maybe come up with a favorite. That's at 11 o'clock. Techie couldn't make it in today, so we will segue, we will transition, and when we return, the one seed from the NFC, the Green Bay Packers, they are in battle this weekend against the Niners, and the Sultan of Smug will share his thoughts on the 9 to noon Talker Tuesday radio show at FM 100.3 KFAN from the 651 Carpet Studio. I'm Paul Allen. Mad producer is cash producer, though.
The fans trying to put a grand in your hand with the National Cash Contest. And it's quite simple. Just go to KFAN.com, enter this hour's keyword, which is thanks. Thanks for listening to 9 to Noon. Go to KFAN.com, enter the keyword thanks, and you might win $1,000. Keyword is thanks. Go get it.
To listen to the fan.
Garoppolo in the gun, Elijah Mitchell to his right, Deebo Samuel left, Jennings inside of Ayuk, they motion Mitchell, come back, he goes in orbit motion out left, Deebo by himself, and they hand off to Deebo, coming to the right, gets a block from Brunskill, a cut back by Deebo, Deebo 10, Deebo 5, touchdown, San Francisco!
Highlights courtesy WTMJ and, of course, 49ers radio flagship KMBR 680 San Francisco.
Football feats. Until you
use me up. The head cheese.
You happy with the matchup?
Well, of the four potential foes, that was the one I would have ranked fourth on my favorite list. So it's going to be a tough one, but I'm ready for him.
And I agree with you. I mean, Arizona, Kingsbury versus Rodgers and LaFleur. That ain't happening.
Yeah.
Stafford, Rams look good. I mean, doing what they do in the wild card round at home. Stafford at Lambeau Field. I mean, haven't we seen that movie 30 times?
Yeah, and we just beat him a month ago.
It always ends like Kevin Spacey's 7 with the head in the box. And it's generally that.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, that of Matthew Stafford. And, you know, but outside of that, man, it's they're. Another underlying tone, David Sinekin at TC Head Cheese via Twitter. TheHeadCheese.com is his website. And he is the Sultan of Smug, a weekly piece with the Border Battle, 9 to noon. Don't hate on the announcer. We've done it in hippie cred fashion for more than two decades. The defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers, DeMeco Ryans. Very steamy in the head coaching world. And I wasn't super familiar with, I know who he is. I didn't know he was steamy as like a leader of man and somebody who can really galvanize this generation of man. And then, you know, I'm watching their game against Big D, and Big D can't roll with Big G, but nevertheless has some offensive components that can be scary if you let them get on a roll. And I was very impressed with the way San Francisco ran defense in the first really half, maybe two and a half quarters of that game. It was just unpredictable, getting run out of second tier type players that you didn't see in the regular season. Hey, Fred Warner's a stud. Jaquaski Tart can be a stud. Jimmy Ward has a little stud to him. Nick Bosa's in and out, but as a pass rusher, got some stud to him. But their defensive coordinator is trying to win a head coaching job here. So, I mean, you're going to get the best of the best every step of the way moving forward. But that Niners defense, man, what do you think?
Well, they're good. They have a really good front seven. I mean, these teams did face each other week three, and that obviously is a long time ago. But if you remember how that game went, Pack jumps out 17-0, minute left in the first half. They punt, and Niners going to return all the way down to like the red zone.
Hey.
Get a touchdown in the final minute to make it, you know, now they're in it.
Then they try to run Trey Sermon, not Deebo Samuel, who runs now.
Correct. They then get the ball to start the second half and score. And now suddenly from 17-0 at 17-14, Pack never trailed until like 30 seconds left when the Niners took the lead. Then A-Rodge had that 30-second drive to win it. But you're right. The Niners only ran it 21 times for 67 yards in that game.
Yeah.
Elijah Mitchell was not a thing yet. Deebo carrying the rock was not a thing yet. So this offense looks completely different than what it did the last time these teams met. And we know that the Niners have beaten the Pack the last three times they faced each other in the playoffs. Mm. Now, it's been a while. The 19 championship game was the most recent, but they tend to have had the Pack's number. That's what's got me quivering a little, just the history. But, you know, and I said on my show Saturday that, you know, I won't be greatly concerned if it's the Niners, but I'll be concerned. I wouldn't have been concerned about the two teams we saw last night or certainly the Eagles. But this team is built for cold weather. It can run it down your throat and not even worry about throwing the football. They're not going to be freaked out by, you know, 8 degrees at kickoff. And they're physical. So it's going to be a good test. But The Packers are healthy. We'll find out today. There's a couple question marks. MVS hurt his back against the Lions, didn't practice last week. Mm. Billy Turner, the right tackle, had not returned yet because he had COVID following the knee injury. Mm-hmm. Like to have him at right tackle if Bosa's out there, although Dennis Kelly's been really good filling in at right tackle. But otherwise, you know, is Jair playing? Is Randall Cobb playing? Is Za'Darius Smith playing? I mean,
right.
They've got all pros that we think are coming up. And then,
so wait a second. You're not getting a majority of those forces back for this game?
No, we assume we are, but okay. We haven't heard yet because the injury report probably will come today as a Saturday game. So we might see today who's practicing.
Yeah.
But the kind of, I think back to 2011, the year after the Super Bowl, they're 15-1. They lose in the divisional round because, in part, the two tackles had missed most of the season, Clifton and Bulaga. They came back for that playoff game, first action in weeks and weeks, and they weren't ready. They nothing was cohesive, and it was just a problem. So you worry a little bit about, hey, here's Jair, fresh, you know, cornerback that can maybe just travel with Debo all day. But he hasn't played since week four.
Yeah.
So does it take him a while to kind of get back? It would have been nice to have him a little bit for the Lions, like Bakhtiari came back. But, man, to me, PA, the recipe here is, keep like a safety. Don't keep those two safeties back. You want a guy in the box all night long. Dare Garoppolo. Let your corners take those receivers one-on-one. The Packers' strength is Douglas, Stokes, and Jair. You got cornerbacks that can match up with Ayuk and with Samuel and that Jennings cat. Let Garoppolo beat you, but do not let Mitchell run it for 8-9 yards a pop. Do not let Debo run free. Debo's going to get his. But you just pay attention to the run and make Jimmy G with that sore shoulder and that bad thumb and 8-degree weather beat you. I like Green Bay's chances.
David Sendek, consultant of Smug at TC Head Cheese via Twitter. Packers hosting the San Francisco 49ers. That's probably my favorite game this weekend. Bills at KC is pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
Rams at, I mean, they're all good now, man.
It's a great, it's just the best weekend of the year, every year.
Does the Sultan believe any game on the schedule could be the final game wearing green and gold for number 12. We'll hit that and much more when we continue it.
The Fan.
Second down, long four. In the pistol, 5 yards away from his center. Running back behind him. Tight end at his side. Kaepernick gets the ball. Fakes the handoff, runs over the right tackle, comes to the 45, tucks it down a block at the 50, on the numbers, the 40, a foot race to the 30, down the near sideline, the 20, chase to the 10, down the sideline, the 5, he'll gallop into the end zone for a San Francisco touchdown, a 56-yard touchdown by quarterback Colin Kaepernick, and the Niners on top, 30-24.
Kaepernick takes the snap, drops back to pass, lofts it toward the end zone for Vernon Davis, who makes the catch at the goal line and falls into the end zone. Touchdown, San Francisco. A 28-yard toss, and the Niners retake the lead.
Pass rush holds. He's going to throw a bomb down the field for Davante Adams in a double coverage. It is intercepted by Richard Sherman, who will go down, and the 49ers are going to win the game and win the NFC Championship game and go to the Super Bowl. What a way to end it, with a deep shot to Davante Adams, and it is Richard Sherman who makes the interception. And he smartly went right down.
Oh, no,
not try to run it back. They're out of timeouts, and now they're all striking a pose.
Highlights courtesy Westwood One and 49ers Radio flagship KMBR 680 San Francisco.
Damn, I mean, it is an exorcising demon Saturday night for the Packers and the Niners in the playoffs. You know, some of the that Colin Kaepernick game, I mean, it caught the imagination of Football Nation off guard. How now Kaepernick can run, but I mean, wasn't it snowy or rainy that?
Yeah, I think so. And that was embarrassing.
They just couldn't stop it.
That was the most embarrassing playoff performance I can remember. I mean, we've had a couple.
Well, what about that 268-4?
Yeah, that was bad too. But
Raheem Mostert and that running game put on you a couple of years ago.
Right, but I kind of expected something like that. I didn't expect 268-4.
Nobody expects that.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
I thought they might run it down our throats.
I do, and already preparing the maintenance. I mean, nobody expects 268-4.
No, but I had a feeling they were going to have their way with us that year. The year with Kaepernick, that was something we didn't see coming.
Do you believe, not from a fear over faith or panic-stricken standpoint, could any game be 12's final game wearing green and gold?
Absolutely. Yeah, if they lose Saturday night, that might be it. That's why this run is such a different one for Packer fans, because it could all end. It could light the fuse for three or four more years. It just could go so many different directions. But absolutely, I've been on record since August, and I haven't changed my tune. I still think this is his last year with the Pack. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they tear up his last year, give him a new deal, find a way to sign Devontae, and let's roll in 2022. But this has a kind of a window closing feel to it to me, unless they go all the way. And who knows? Maybe if they go all the way, that's the same thing. But yes, I will go into every game the Packers play thinking, is this the last time 12 and 17 are playing for this team?
Now, outside of the game-related covenant for a second, simply because he interviewed here for potential head coach, offensive coordinator for the Packers, Nathaniel Hackett, Paul's son, very well-respected and recognized football immortality-type name, Paul Hackett, offensive coordinator for Joe Montana with the San Francisco 49ers. Nathaniel is his son. It starts and stops with Matt LaFleur calling the plays, I would imagine constructing the offense, kind of like what it used to be here with Zimmer and the defense, while you have co-defensive coordinators or a defensive coordinator or whatever. It's ambiguous and difficult at times to figure out exactly what they do. Nathaniel Hackett, from the heart, man, what do you think of him?
Yeah, he's got the same issue Bieniemy has, right? We got Andy Reid calling the play, so where does Bieniemy fit? Can he do it? I know this. I don't know Nathaniel Hackett. I've never met him, but I've seen him in dozens of press conferences over the years, and he is amazingly relatable. He comes off as such a regular guy, yet really knowledgeable. And
does he make eye contact with this generation of players while walking in hallways?
I believe so.
Good.
I believe so.
Okay.
Well, say this for him. He's the one guy that was able to take Blake Bortles and deliver him to the AFC Championship game. With the Jaguars. That was the year he was running that offense.
The one they lost to the Pats where they had all the money?
Correct.
Oh!
Yeah, so he was running that offense. And, you know, Rodgers can't speak highly enough about him and what he the chance he does deserve to run a team. So I just wonder the whole nepotism bit. Like, are the Vikings ready to deal with a son of a coach again? In light of some of the coordinator issues you've been dealing with.
Wasn't that a song, Son of a Coach Again?
I believe it was. Son of a Sailor or something.
I hadn't really thought of it.
I wonder if I have thought about that. If nepotism's going to come into the Vikings decision, I don't know. You know, again, I always say.
But Paul Hackett never coached here.
No, agreed. But I'm just saying the fact that he is the son of a coach. Okay. And that's getting more attention now as you see one African-American coach out of 32 and all these sons of coaches getting chances, maybe not as head coaches, but as coordinators. But I always say...
How do we know D'Amico Ryan's father was not a DB's coach for the Browns in the 60s?
Yeah, we don't. But we do know D'Amico was a hell of a player and knows how to play the game of football. I don't know how high a level Nathaniel ever played.
Yeah.
He will get a job in this cycle, I'm sure of it. My guess is, I think he ends up in Denver, because I do think they're trying to line things up with George Payton to maybe look at a trade for Rodgers and bring some friendly faces over there. But by all accounts, Nathaniel Hackett has a brilliant offensive mind and is ready for this opportunity.
LaFleur and Rodgers with an extra week and fresh legs. I mean, just the way I laid that out, it sounds like free money.
And Bakhtiari, you know, back after getting his feet wet against the Lions. That's just beyond huge to have maybe the best left tackle in the game finally back on the field when the games matter. And, oh, by the way, his nookie blankie Randall Cobb is back after core surgery. And now you've got that slot receiver, that third down guy, that red zone guy. Lazard, the last month, has played the best football of his career. Devontae is obviously Devontae. And MVS is key. I mean, he takes the top off of defense. You got to know where he is. And if he doesn't play, that does change how Green Bay attacks offensively. So that's the one injury I'm really paying attention to. But you're right. The pinky toe is fine. All that rest. And they haven't played a real game since the Viking game. And the Niners are playing big, tough games week after week. So momentum.
Any room for Jake Kumerow?
Bring him on, baby. Bring him on. No, I think we're okay. I think we're all right on the depth chart at wide receiver.
Next level Shanny. Kyle Shanahan. Next level Shanny, as he's known around here, because his work is next level. He has some quirky schemes, and he's very good, as I mentioned last week, up to the Dallas game. Then I talked myself into Dallas, which was really super special. But he's very good at not only changing during the course of the game, but, and I've been told this, this isn't like my own all 22 type work. I mean, you know, next level people have to share stuff like this with rubes like us to know it. But he's as good, if not the best in the game, at showing you things during the course of the season executing them in the game after you've watched them, but right at the last second, getting something different off of it. And that's why those rubes are open. Like it was early in the Cowboys game. I'm like, Juwan Jennings, Travis Benjamin. I mean, holy cow.
Right.
How did he get that? How was he that open? You know, and that, but see, then that stuff gets taken away. And then that's where the next level part comes in. He starts faking the jet with Ayuk or faking the jet sweep with Juszczyk. Everybody trips out over the Swiss Army knife Juszczyk because he just, A, looks to decapitate you. He can catch and he can run. So the quirky schemes coming at you, though, what do you think?
Yeah, no, that is a concern for sure, because the Packers defense, when they kind of fall apart, it's when they kind of lose discipline. Like, they don't stay in their lanes. They try to do things because they see weird stuff. Yeah. We saw it. The Lions ran a bunch of gadget stuff. They emptied their playbook. And the Packers got abused in that game. Now, again, Devondre Campbell didn't play. Motivation wasn't there. I'm not going to freak out. But for a team that does like to run a lot of gadgety stuff, and Shanahan and LaFleur are buddies. They've known each other. They've worked together. They know each other's offense. He's going to empty his playbook as well. So it's incumbent upon the Packers D to just stay disciplined. Know your job. Devondre Campbell's a first-team All-Pro. Got him off the streets. He was in Arizona last year. Think about Arizona. You know, put Devondre Campbell and Rasul Douglas back on that defense, and maybe they look a little bit better against the Rams.
They did all pro already?
Yeah, they did all pro last week.
Devondre is first team?
First team all pro.
Yeah,
for a $2 million street free agent the Packers picked up in June.
Go ahead with that.
That's why Goody's executive of the year. That kind of a pickup, finding Rasul Douglas off the practice squad, the plays he's made down the stretch when they needed another corner so bad with Jair out and Kevin King being diseased. Stokes has been excellent as a rookie. But without Rasul Douglas and Campbell, the Packers are nowhere near the number one seed this year.
Jimmy G is a tough figure for me and always has been. He doesn't throw outside the numbers, and everybody knows he doesn't throw outside the numbers. But he still finds a way to move the ball because of next level's quirky schemes. Now you're outdoors. You got cold weather. You got the Lambeau mystique. You got 12 on the other side. Do you think that greatly favors you guys? Because Jimmy G, I think in that NFC title game against the Packers, I think he might have thrown 9 times.
That's about it. Yeah.
You know, and he threw like 13 against us the week before. So I would expect that to be the approach. Let's not, because they put Garoppolo in a spot to throw the ball early in the fourth quarter in that Dallas game, and he went Jimmy G on it, and he put Dallas right back in the game, and that's what Jimmy G does. But then he's so smart. And he's so good with recognition of what's coming at him and getting into the right play. That's where next level's quirky schemes gouge teams. Garoppolo has a lot to do with that. But overall, he's going to have to throw the ball eventually. Lambeau mystique, cold weather, storied franchise. What do you think of Jimmy G?
Well, he's playing for a new job, so he's super motivated because they drafted his replacement. And that's what makes this run by San Francisco so interesting. Because what if with that fifth pick, you know, they added some playmaking defensive player or whatever to add to this team to make it better, and they didn't do that. They drafted Trey Lance. So he's playing for a job. He's motivated, and you're right. Shanahan puts him in position to not have to be a hero, but he's got so many good weapons, you know, finding Samuel and Kittle and even Juszczyk and Ayuk and Mitchell out of the backfield. He's just got a lot of weapons. He doesn't have to do things crazy where he goes downfield. He will not throw deep. He will not throw downfield on this cold night with a bad shoulder and a bad thumb. The key for Green Bay, I think, against Garoppolo is you just have to be really good on first down. If they're in second and two and second and one, now Shanahan can do whatever he wants with Garoppolo with play action. You gotta be really stout on early downs and force them into second and nines, and then make Garoppolo have to look downfield, because that's the biggest mismatch in this game as a quarterback. I don't think that's a hyperbole at all. And I don't think the moment's too big, but I think Green Bay's defense is going to have something for Jimmy G. I think they take a couple away from him on Saturday.
Salton,
the head cheese.
You touched on it earlier, but just how different are these teams now compared to week three, that September game out San Francisco way?
Yeah, well, offensively, San Francisco is completely different. As we said, Mitchell wasn't playing. Debo now is a ball carrier and just one of the most dangerous weapons, kind of a Swiss Army knife guy. He is so fun to watch.
He ran with fury in that Dallas game.
Oh, he's so good. I said it earlier in the year. That's one receiver I'll watch all night long, because, and that was even before he was running the football. So yes, they're way different offensively. I think the Packers are way different defensively than they were earlier in the season, because Campbell was not really a thing just yet. Kenny Clark got off to a slower start. Dean Lowry, the last 6 weeks, has looked like a different player up front next to Clark, and he was diseased last year.
Lowry and Lancaster, for my taste.
A couple of Northwestern cats.
Yeah, they're two of the most underrated interior 3-4 defensive players in the NFL.
And they've been really good of late. So stopping that running attack, or at least slowing it down, and not allowing 8 to 10 yards at a clip, that's everything for the Packers in this game. And having Devondre Campbell and Chris Barnes at inside linebacker, way different than what they had not 2019, last year. That's why this defense has been better. Now, they still get stung by the run a little bit, but they, as I said, they have to keep Savage or Amos up in that box and have 8 in the box all night long and dare Jimmy G to beat you with some receiver one-on-one. I'll take a chance with my corners. Packers' strength on defense is a cornerback and pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
You get Zadarius back for 15 or 20 snaps and Whitney Mercilus.
And Henry Black.
I don't think we'll see Henry Black too much. That's my hope anyway.
That could be your third safety in the box.
But Mercilus, we thought, was gone with a torn pec. He was practicing last week.
Yeah.
So now you got four guys, the Smiths, Gary, and Mercilus going after that quarterback. That's why you've got to get in preferable down and distance. If he's at second, third, and long, Green Bay's got a huge advantage with their pass rush. No one's talking about Green Bay's pass rush. They're all talking about the Niners and Bosa and all that. But, man, Jimmy G's going to be running for his life if Green Bay can slow that run down a bit.
The Niners, offensively, they're the kings of nickel and diming you to death. And Dallas's big spot, crowd is loud, third and whatever, ain't no stopping us now defense.
Mm-hmm.
It's forever a letdown. I mean, the proverbial prick to the cliched balloon with a crowd getting silenced at home. I mean, Dallas masters that on third and whatever when you think you have somebody. And I trust Green Bay in all facets of a game like this more than I do the Dallas Cowboys. Coaching, just everything. So, but with that said, the Niners will nickel and dime you, man, and they want to keep, obviously, they want to keep 12 off the field. So not necessarily that 284-4 that they put on you in 2019 on the ground. 284-4. Because Elijah Mitchell, God bless him, he's not in Raheem Mostert's class for my taste. And Mostert, the physical nature, and just remembering that game with Matt Breida and the backs they kept running at you, they're going to try to nickel and dime you. Does that concern you?
It does. I like Elijah more than you do. I had him on my fantasy team, so
I like him.
Maybe I watched him a little more closely because I had a vested interest. He's really good. So, yeah, I am concerned because that is the blueprint, obviously. Look, this fan base, this team has waited a long time, I think, to get back home and have a full crowd in front of them and play an NFC Championship game at home.
Mm.
And they're one game away from doing that. And I don't see them tripping up. They're 5-1 off a bye on the divisional weekend at home.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to win this game, and it does come down to that. It comes down to first down, stop them for 3 or 4 yards, and make Jimmy G beat you. Because, yeah, Mitchell, Samuel, you know, even Juszczyk's going to get some run. Hasty, those cats are going to try to run the football. That's Green Bay's defense's weakness. But it's not as weak as it used to be. There ain't going to be no 268 or whatever it was. In
284.
Whatever it was. So that ain't happening on Saturday night. But I am concerned about that running game. But you know what? San Fran should be concerned about the Packers running game, too. Because that's going to be more. I mean, I'll take Dillon and Jones over what they run at you. And the Packers scheme is built on the run as well. And if the Packers are running the ball early, well, then it opens everything up for A-Rodge. And that secondary is the weakest unit of any unit on the field Saturday night is San Francisco's secondary. And if Green Bay is able to loosen that up with the run game, 30-35 points should not be a problem.
In closing,
and the silence you hear is Lambeau Field.
Stop that.
You beat Kyle Shanahan and Tom Brady consecutive weeks.
In your face, Milwaukee.
Ain't no stopping this team. Just go ahead with Mahomes. Go ahead with Diggs. Go ahead with whomever. Mix in whomever from the American Football Conference. You beat next level Shanny.
And the silence you hear is Lambeau Field.
And Brady consecutive weeks.
In your face, Milwaukee!
It is over.
Just get me there. I just want to get there. I want to win the NFC. I want to win two games at Lambeau.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll let the chips fall in the Super Bowl. I'm not thinking quite that far out just yet. Let's take care of Shanny on Saturday.
Are you attending the game?
I am not, but I will be there next week if there is a game.
Right on. Appreciate your time, Sultan. I have a wonderful day.
Thanks for having me, man.
Good luck to your squad this weekend.
Thanks, brother.
That is David Sinekin. He is the head cheese. That's the border battle. TheHeadCheese.com. At TC Head Cheese via Twitter. The Sultan of Smog excited for his boys on Saturday night. Kellen Moore is an offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. Bob Sturm is a radio host for The Ticket in Dallas, also breaks down all 22 of Cowboys football for The Athletic. Sturm on Moore